Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Respectfully Disagree. So in this week's episode, we thought that we'd sit and dissect this concept of fame and question its revered place in society. This is Srishti, your host. And to start off with, let's talk about how have we seen fame in Indian pop culture. We're starting off with a very meta conversation.
Hi, this is Rajvi. I'm the co-producer of Respectfully Disagree. So I think growing up in a lot of movies, okay, and like Bunty or Bubbly, Main Madhuri Dixit Banna Chahti Hoon, like all of these movies, the opening scene typically is very like a young woman and she has a lot of posters on her wall and, you know, like she's kind of being dramatic or acting out some fantasy like in like isolation. And especially this part about how her personality in the moment is shown as like very antithetical to how obedient or conservative she might be in front of her parents, right? So of course, like we see her aspiring to fame in itself, like wanting to be famous, and then also all the things that come with it, like money and being loved by like large groups and like awards and whatever. But there has always been this like undertone of freedom that is related to fame in these movies, right? Like it's very much like these movies are almost like paying homage to the success of Bollywood kind of trying to show us that look, like this is your way out of your small Indian town to greatness and I don't know, prosperity and whatever. But yeah, that's a very, very common trope, right, in Bollywood. I'm sure that you guys have also seen lots of movies like that.
So Karla and Aditi, which is that movie scene that you associate with this like aspiring to fame kind of moment? I think it's then, like you point out, Rajvi, in a lot of movies. Is there a particular scene or a movie that you associate with this?
Yeah, I think my personal, I think memory, not favorite, but memory of like childhood memory of was fashion. You know, the movie about like those three super like models who become, out of which one is a supermodel, one wants to be a supermodel, and one is just sort of there. Like, she is just sort of there.
Wow, is that Mukta Ghodse's character?
She's sort of there. I don't know the point of her storyline, but like, at least nothing happens to her. So like, congrats for surviving. So yeah, like the first time the protagonist, which is Priyanka Chopra, she sees Kangana Ranaut, who is playing the supermodel, the first time she sees her walking, and there's like this glitter in her eyes because like she wants to be the same. And you almost like sense the ambition that this woman has, like she's like, you know, hungry for a certain amount of career related success, and she really, really wants to succeed. Like she wants to see her face on a very particular billboard where she saw the old model, like old supermodel's face. And I was like, cool, that sounds great. Like you go, you do, you live your best life, you make your dreams successful. It was kind of nice and positive, actually. But then obviously everything immediately does not work out that way. So quite unfortunate.
I can't think of a particular scene, Srishti, off the top of my head, but I feel like this notion of wanting to grow up to be famous was like such a pervasive thing in my childhood. And I even like see hints of it with my kids where, you know, one of the things when they'll like play dress up or they're, you know, they're playing, and like one of the aspirations in these moments is like, oh, when I grow up, I want to be famous. Right. And I don't know where it comes from. I think it's fascinating because I personally don't value fame. So I wonder where this notion comes from. And I started to think that maybe it's just about like recognition, like being beloved and recognized and acknowledged like widely and universally.
So Karla, this is interesting because like as early or as later as 2012, there was this study that looked at 10 to 12 year olds. And the study found that a majority of them wanted to be famous for the sake of being famous. So not because fame relates to wealth or achievement or accomplishment, but like because of fame, right? And then there are lots of like future studies that have also kind of tried to pin down the exact personality type or like upbringing experiences that lead people to want to be famous. And a lot of it is centered around rejection or abandonment or self-esteem, where the single most incentive to be famous is to be loved, is to be treated as somebody who is valued and important by large groups of people, which then also feeds like some kind of narcissism and some kind of ego. And unfortunately, we see how fame actually plays out in real life and in pop culture. Like, that's a very destructive cycle, right? Because the more validation you get, the higher your expectations become set for the kind of validation you deserve. And then that just keeps going on and on and on until like somebody implodes, right? And I think it's a similar thing with like popularity in high school, right? Like, lots of people have talked about like fame in real life being like a blown up version of the popularity Olympics in like high school, where like who's the jock and who's the cheerleader. I mean, those are two stereotypes, obviously, but just what it means to be popular, which means that everybody looks up to you and everybody, like, you know, you get perks and you get love and you get admiration. And I guess human beings are wired to want that.
So as you were talking, I was actually just remembering there was this 80s show that was hugely popular and very, very culturally influential in the US, and it was called Fame. And I was too young to have actually watched it, but I have this like memory of this thing existing, and it was about dancers, like New York City dancers who are all friends, like all kind of like competing with each other to get the like top billing in whatever performances and going to auditions. And it was all about their love lives and how they were kind of scrappy. And the idea was that you would make it big. Like, all of them were trying to make it big, and it was all about them trying to become famous, right? And there was the theme song, which if I played it for you, you would recognize it because it's a super like popular, well-known song. But basically the main chorus, the lyrics go, fame, I want to live forever, right? I'm going to learn how to fly or something like that. But I was thinking as you were talking that maybe there's something about it, which is also about immortality, like achieving legacy, like instant legacy, where like your name and your contribution is recognized forever, right? And it has sort of a life outside of you.
And just not to feel inconsequential, right? Or to be forgotten. I mean, that's also a very big fear that a lot of people have. So I guess fame solves that problem if it doesn't any others.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, it's very interesting that we like we're having this conversation, and I think Aditi, the example you brought up immediately was of fashion. So I think that along with this, you know, aspirational rags to riches, you know, you can get whatever you want if you become famous, you get that ticket to fame. There's also, I think, a very critical outlook to fame in a lot of movies and a lot of cinema. I think, for example, two things that come to my mind immediately. One is Luck by Chance, which was Zoe Akhtar's first film and the OG take on nepotism, actually, which kind of looks at the way in which the, you know, dynamics of fame work in Bollywood and who gets to be famous and who doesn't and how does that world operate through the, you know, story of Sona. And I have forgotten Farhan Akhtar's character's name, but through their story and the very different trajectories that these two people have. And then there's also Om Shanti Om, which is, again, a very interesting original take on nepotism, where Farah Khan literally said that the only way that Om Kapoor from the streets, who lives in a chawl, who is a junior artist, can become Om Kapoor, a superstar, is if he's reborn into the house of a superstar. There's no way that otherwise he can become a superstar. So it's actually a very dark story in that way. Like, you have to be reborn into the house of a superstar to be able to fulfill your dream of being a big Bollywood actor. So what do you think about that? Like, do you think that those common critiques of fame are also embedded into almost every pop culture messaging, every, you know, real life story and reportage that we see around famous people's lives?
So mostly I think, I mean, from fashion only, like, the biggest critique in my head was that it corrupts, right? That it makes people into people that they're not. And you can see that in Priyanka Chopra's character, right? Like it makes her completely reliant on other people's validation, right? And then, like, when she gets that, like, it leads to arrogance, and then it leads to feelings of invincibility, and then, like, she goes on to substance abuse and things like that, right? And I feel like the worlds of famous people, at least in movies, are always shown with, like, a lot of, like, debauchery, you know? Like, they're, like, living wealthy lives with abandon. And I think I'm thinking of the show Californication. I mean, it doesn't win any awards, okay? But, like, it's supposed to be, like, a critical, not critical, but I guess an insider look into wealthy people in like Hollywood and stuff, right? So there's a lot of fame and corruption, and this trope is worn out, I think, in cinema. Another thing I feel like is it makes famous people like airheads. You know, at least like that's how it's shown, that somebody who has aspired to fame and is now like reaping the rewards of fame is kind of like an airhead. And I'm thinking of Anne Hathaway in Ocean's 8, where she's shown as such. And then obviously she becomes like a closet smart person. But even that has its own scene in the movie, like where people are kind of, you know, exclaiming at, oh, actually, no, she's smart. Oh, we didn't know that, or we didn't assume that about her. So I think those two things never really appealed fame to me.
Okay, it's interesting because all the examples you just gave, I agree, this happens in all these narratives. They feel so moralistic and judgmental to me. And I wonder if you think there's like a gender component to it where like people don't like to see the small town girl with good values go to the big city and become independent and like perhaps very sexually active and like experimenting with different, you know, life experiences. And suddenly like this notion of like her becoming autonomous and making her own choices is always overlaid with she's been corrupted and like she no longer holds her own values. She's rejected her old friends. She's now become like a bad person.
Yeah, I mean, I agree in the sense that I can't think of like a movie that kind of centers a man's like downfall because of fame, because he couldn't control himself or whatever. Like you will see the same men like engage in the same debauchery, but they will have this sense of composure or calmness around them where they can like handle the fame, but the women can't. I think that's definitely like a common trope.
Or there's like, you know, A Star Is Born where he is an alcoholic and can't handle his fame, right? But then, how can I put this? But then that storyline sort of only exists to highlight some of the problems with her fame, right? So I think there's that, again, there's that problem of like, it's really a commentary on her fame rather than his.
And I also think that we're uncomfortable with the sexualization of famous women. And that also, I think, plays out in this gender dynamic. And in India in particular, the way in which Bollywood is perceived, for instance, there's this whole like moral panic about it that, oh, if you're an actress, you must have had to sleep with the producers to get a movie, or like, you know, an actress doesn't really, especially if you're quote unquote an outsider, you know, you have must have made it in these certain ways and stuff. And I think you also see that in the way in which you see stories of actors from yesteryears, right? Like Parveen Babi, Zina Taman, Madhubala, all of the women who didn't have like a group inside or like a family, film family that they belong to or whatever, very often led these lives where almost there were these narratives that they were used and thrown away, or they were at the behest of men like Kishore Kumar or allegedly Amitabh Bachchan or whatever, who ruined their lives, you know? So I think there's also that kind of moralistic narrative around, which also plays out in all of these movies, right? About what you have to give up to become famous. I'm curious to know, though, I feel like personally this changes with social media in terms of, for bigger stars and like celebrities, in terms of the power and access that it gives them to their own image and to audiences. But it also changes the nature of fame, right? Like with reality TV and with social media, I think it's way, fame has become more accessible in a certain way, and the way in which we think about fame and interact with fame has changed. Do you think it's changed the nature of how we view fame? And has it become something that we look down upon more because of the fact that there is now social media and social media famous and, you know, reality TV famous and whatnot?
Okay, so I can't believe that I'm about to quote like Ricky Gervais here, but like he has this quote that like does circle around on social media a lot about how like fame and like infamy or like is basically the same, as in like it's no big deal for people to become famous. Like they don't have to become famous for any particular work they've done or any for any particular reason that we would consider like valid, right? And like it's very different from like say 50 years ago. It has been changing for a very long time. Like I remember like fame meant something at some point, right? It rendered like exclusivity and mystery to the lives of like famous people. You mentioned Om Shanti Om, right? And it's literally that, like, it's very dramatic, and it kind of shows how untouchable and aspirational famous people are. Like, the way that Om Kapoor from The Chawl, like, sees Shanti Priya as almost like a goddess, like, they don't even live in the same universe, right? But now, with influencers, to, like, Twitter celebrities, like, people who go viral for, like, 15 minutes, like, that's also, like, an Andy Warhol quote, right? Like, 15 minutes of fame or something. It's, like, people say that a lot. But, yeah, I think it's both, in the sense that the number of famous people have increased, and that has led to us knowing more about them. Like, we basically kind of see them for people and not like the personas that we've kind of associated with them.
Yeah, and I also think that people are now much more aware and accepting of, like, the downsides of fame, like the invasion of privacy issues, so all of these things are more accepted. I think that there was a time 10, 15 years ago when, like, celebrities would come out and talk about, you know, sort of being hounded by the press, or, you know, they would talk about paparazzi and how difficult it was to live private lives, and they would get smacked down. Like, people, the public backlash was enormous, right? And people just didn't understand this idea that, like, you can be rich and famous and also not enjoy all aspects, like, all the trappings of that, you know, that fame. That was not very accepted. Now that I think, because of social media, because there's more sort of famous people, or, what, you know, recognizable people talking about it, there's also more of an understanding of, like, the many, many, many downsides of being famous. And I think it feels more human. Like, people get it more, that it's actually not that fun.
I actually disagree with both of you. I think that the more we've grown into, like, the intersection of fame and technology, the more we've learned to sort of dehumanize celebrities rather than them becoming more accessible to us. And yes, there's a lot of, like, high-level discourse about how, say, celebrities also deserve the right to privacy. I think it all started when, I think it all started when Jimmy Kimmel completely tore apart Emily Alford. I'm not exactly sure what her name was, about the Gawker stalker thing. Like, there was this Gawker app that was basically Gawker is, like, an old blog from, like, a few years ago. And Gawker Stalker was basically this app that was created that allowed people to sort of input where they saw a celebrity. So there was, like, a real-time celebrity tracker. So basically, Jimmy Kimmel called on one of the Gawker writers on the show and sort of tore them apart, basically saying that celebrities are also at risk of being mugged and killed by psychopaths. So, like, you can't just pretty much dehumanize celebrities. And over time, we've also learned to sort of look at, say, women's sex tapes, like Kim Kardashian's sex tape, Paris Hilton's sex tape. And, like, once upon a time, the discourse was, like, look at these dirty women. And now it's basically that, like, all of these sex tapes were basically revenge porn. So, I mean, why would we, like, sort of associate it with these women? But you see this discourse happening. But recently, I think there was this news about Olivia Munn and who's that comedy guy? What's his name? John Mulaney dating. And, like clockwork, like, there's these old sexts that Olivia Munn sent. They surfaced. And, like, everybody's talking about them. And, like, it's, like, immediately if something happens to a celebrity, like, their past is dug up. Like, even when, like, situations in which, like, there's no power dynamic sort of, like, for example, Jeff Bezos' sexual texts, or Salman Rushdie's sex. Like, even when these situations happen, it's not exactly affecting either of these people, because, like, they're very powerful men. Who's going to, like, say anything to them beyond congratulations? But, like, there is still, like, a certain amount of voyeur-like behavior when it comes to famous people. There's a certain dehumanization that comes with being famous. And it's, like, I don't think, and the more connected we get, the more likely it is that that's going to continue to increase, and people will continue to do it without, like, even thinking twice about it. Like, it's just a normal reaction, because celebs are basically not people, they're just, like, people on a screen, so.
So, Aditya, I think I disagree with you, in the sense that I feel like this dehumanization that is attached to fame has been happening for a very long time, but the one way in which we are even exposed to an alternative like perspective, right, is because of the fame that we see now, is because of like so many influencers, for example, like forget like celebrity, like Bollywood level, but like so many influencers also talk about the very real threats that trolls like pose to them, right? And like those also become headlines, like at the same time that those sects become headlines. So I feel like we have more information and more perspectives to kind of root our idea of fame in like more humanized essay ideals, which I don't think existed before.
Yeah, I do, like I said, I think there is like space for like a conversation around these topics, like that keeps happening, like you said, like even if people get like threats, if women journalists get threats, if influencers get threats, if celebrities get threats, you get these like, you get people being outraged for them, and you get like the sense that people want to protect these people. But again, there's no protection, so to say, like it doesn't exactly exist, like unless you are completely offline. Like for example, like completely random example, okay, so Liberace was the super famous pianist from like a few like decades ago, right? And there was a lot of speculation that he was queer back then, but he sort of staunchly stayed inside the closet for his own reasons, like whatever they were, and a lot of people were sort of like, and he could sort of build that narrative and he could stick with it, and not a lot of people except for like tabloid rags would question that, right? And like nobody believed or took tabloid rags seriously back then, so like he could still have a certain amount of control over his reputation without the internet. But right now, there would be like receipts, there would be people leaking texts, there would be lots of like, I don't know, there'll be like look at what Karan Johar goes through every single time somebody brings up his sexuality. Like, it's just, there's no like proper level of control over who you are, or like a level of like privacy that you can expect anymore. So therefore, I don't think there's like any scope for protection, even though there's a scope for conversation around protection.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Aditi. I'm with Aditi on this one. And I also feel like now every kind of celebrity is supposed to put more of themselves out there with social media. Like if you don't, then you're like a complete exception. And most of the times that won't be okay with brands or other ways, or even like film projects and other ways in which you make money. One interesting thing for me, though, is that I think it's made the nature of fame more interesting. Like, as we mentioned, that whole Om Kapoor aura, or like, you know, you have a certain aura, or you could maintain a perception that you're famous without really having that kind of, you know, number of people following you or whatever on ground, right? But now with social media, I think it's also possible to see, right? Like someone like a Neha Kakkar, who's a singer, can have 50 million followers, and Varun Dhawan, who you think is more popular and who you think would have a bigger following, has 36 million followers, you know? So I think it also, in some ways, can be empowering within the industry of celebrity and fame, because I think it puts audience bases for different people in perspective. I don't know if that's a completely different point, but I feel like that way it kind of makes the nature of fame very interesting for people within the industry and how they negotiate their kind of monetary value, I guess.
Yeah, but I also think that all of these tools that celebrities now have at their disposal actually argue the opposite way, which is that now that you can control a lot more about the narrative that you put out there, it becomes easier for stars to present sort of an alternative version of themselves as the public version, right? And so you have these, I mean, Beyonce is like the classic example of this, but Beyonce is one of the most famous people in the world who we know absolutely nothing about, right? Like no one knows Beyonce. Why? Because she's extraordinarily picky and careful about what she presents, and she controls every single image of her life that you see. You don't see anything private about her. And so, you know, one could argue that, okay, that's because she's so famous that she's got that. But the truth is even if you're an Instagram influencer who has no record label or no, you know, movie production studios behind you or anything like that, you are controlling the version of yourself that you put out there, and you're becoming famous based on this sort of facade. And I think there's huge power in that, because you can craft an alternative reality, an alternative version of yourself that's almost like the famous one, and then you lead your personal life behind, you know, behind that screen.
But I feel like to maintain this fame, right, this almost alternative fame, I feel like even that's such a dangerous game, right? Because on the internet, especially, everybody is scrutinizing your every move, every single word in the caption that you write. And we already expect like a certain level of consistency and ideological and intellectual, like almost purity, like from the people that we follow, the famous people that we kind of aspire to be or whatever. And that's quite like dangerous. And I want to go back to like so many people, like so many celebrities and so many influencers have talked about like their fame being the reason that they get panic attacks or that they have so much anxiety. Like if you look at just like the comment section or whatever, like of all of these Instagram posts and stuff that done by celebrities, like there is a very real like danger and very like attacky like language and everything that like they are, you know, subjected to. It's like that combined with the corruption of fame, you know, with the 27 club and whatever. I mean, we even have a name for like things like that. Like, I feel like fame to anybody who kind of understands how it plays out for the people who are famous, it doesn't make sense to aspire to it at all, because the influence you have, I think, is a small part. And the rest of it is kind of just bullshit. It's like a 24-hour job, you know, like being famous is a job. And I don't know if people really want to look at it like that.
But yeah, I agree that I think this idea of like also who can afford to struggle, because that's such a big part of the story of like fame in the film industry, or even, you know, in terms of like if you want to become a social media star. So who can afford that kind of struggle or that kind of resources into like making videos and putting their work out there? And I think there have been so many articles and documentaries about like Andheri as this hub of struggle and Yari Road as this place where strugglers live. And there's two kind of strugglers, like one who has their dad's textile business to go back to when, you know, this thing goes away, and another who has come from a village and has, you know, saved up all his money. And so that kind of dichotomy and narrative is always there. And I think that's also, again, going back to Luck by Chance, because I really love that movie, that kind of dynamic is also there between Sona, who ultimately ends up being a TV actor, but she has like, you know, made her peace with fame in a very different way from Farhan Akhtar, who's actually the one who like supposedly breaks out and becomes a big superstar, but is not at peace at all with like who he is. And
And there's also this whole middle class idea of struggling, right? Like, for example, like a personal example is when I was in college, a lot of people in the broadcast journalism program of my college sort of wanted to become theater or film actors, and TV journalism was like their backup option. And like they have a degree that's their backup option to do things, but then they still have like their main goal is sort of moving to Bombay and trying to make their name in like one particular industry. Whereas for a lot of small town people, it's literally like that urban legend of moving to Bombay with 2,000 rupees in your pocket and making it big, very Shah Rukh Khan. But I think quite literally it still does happen, right?
Yeah, I think that definitely feels like it can cut both ways. Through this whole conversation, we've seen that. But on an ending note, I think that takes us to a great ending note about, is there anything wrong with being wanting to be famous finally? And is it okay to aspire to be famous?
I think if somebody comes up to me and tells me that, I would send them like 1,000 articles and I'd be like, read these things and like, as in, know more about it. And then come back. Because I don't think in any logical sense you could want to be famous. I don't think that's something that can be sustainable or viable for like an adult.
Yeah, I mean, I don't judge anyone who has that as an aspiration, because we've been socialized to like believe that that's a worthy like end goal. But I would probably tell them that that's not fulfilling in and of itself, right? Like, go pursue some goal you want to pursue. And if you become famous in the process, you might have to deal with some nonsense. But that is not like the path to fulfillment.
Yeah, I think honestly, it doesn't really matter if you want to be famous or not. I guess you do you, but like realize that every single dumb thing that you've done when you were young or when you didn't know any better will be uncovered and will be used against you. So I think it's best to prepare yourself for the worst.
Go back and delete your old tweets.
They will still.
Wow. Okay. On that horrific note for people aspiring to fame, it's not as pretty as Nickelback puts it in Rockstar. Oh, sorry, God. I was obsessed with that song. It used to play on this radio, the only radio station which played English music in Kolkata all the time. 107.8 Power FM, and now it doesn't exist anymore.